in praise of God.
BBC Radio Stoke.
Well, good morning and a very, very warm welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus to St. James Church in Audley. If we haven't met before, my name's Simon Tompkins. I'm the minister here. And a really warm welcome if you're a regular part of the church family, if you're a guest with us, or if you're a friend joining us through BBC Stoke this morning. It's lovely to have you with us. We've been working through a series in the book of Psalms, and this morning we've got up to Psalm 20. It's a psalm that lifts our eyes to see that the King of Israel, and it has these words in it. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's not a dig at any nature lovers, because chariots and horses in David's day, they were the weapons of that day. They were the cruise missiles, the aircraft carriers. It says, where is power in this world? Is it in the people who control nuclear weapons? Does power lie with those who have vast sums of money or control governments? And we meet this morning because power, real, true, glorious power, lies in the King of Heaven, in the God who made us and who loves us. And so we're going to stand and praise this King who is worthy of all praise, clothed in light. Let's stand and sing of his splendor. Offences are many in your sight, and our failures testify against us. Our wrongdoing is ever with us, and we acknowledge our sin. We have rebelled against you and acted treacherously against you. Lord God, forgive us through Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Amen. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. So there is one way to flee from the wrath of God. That is to flee to the mercy of God. So let's pray with thankfulness in our hearts as we come to this mighty King. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mercy. We praise you that you don't treat us as we deserve, but you lavish such kindness on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, we're going to continue in prayer now, and Maggie Babb is going to lead us.
Father God, King of heaven, thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in this, your creation. Thank you especially for rest and holiday times and the pattern of the seasons. You appointed us to a privileged position as stewards of the world. We are sorry that we fail so much to perform in this task, and that we often forget or choose not to look to you and your perfect instructions for our lives, preferring instead our own ways. We see the effects of this in so many ways, and we now pray for those situations. Lord, in your mercy. Around the world, we pray especially for those nations who are not living at peace with their neighbours, and those citizens who do not have the freedoms, wealth, and other benefits which we experience. We pray for the environment, thinking particularly of the Amazonian fires, melting ice caps, animals facing extinction, and areas affected by unreliable harvests. In the many parts of the world affected by civil unrest, terrorist, and other violent acts, we ask for your calm. Please protect those who are persecuted for their faith in your Son Jesus. Keep them confident in him and comfort them in their distress with the peace you have promised. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you bless us with leaders of wisdom, compassion, and integrity, both in our government and the opposition. We lift the work of Christians in politics across the political divide to you. We call on you to bless our Queen, who has served you so faithfully throughout her long reign, which has seen so many changes in our relationships with other countries. Please guide her with your wisdom to know and do your will. Lord, in your mercy. At the start of this new academic year, show the children of our nation how blessed they are to have the opportunity of a free education. Move them to use it well. Strengthen and uphold teachers, youth workers, and families through the coming year. Lord, we especially pray for those communities affected by knife crime and associated issues, and ask that you will raise up people to bring your good news to gangs, and that you will pour out your Holy Spirit and soften hearts to be ready to respond to you. We lift in prayer those members of our fellowship who are bereaved or ill or struggling with other difficulties. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you that despite us, you are the God who will turn chaos back into order. Some trust in chariots and horses or their modern equivalents, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We ask that you will use us to build your kingdom, and thank you that through the sacrifice of Jesus we can trust that you will. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Maggie. Well, let's continue in prayer in the words of the Collect on our service sheet. O God, who declarest thy almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of thy grace that we, running the way of thy commandments, may obtain thy gracious promises and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Well, we might like to look up there as Jean comes to bring us our first reading from John's Gospel.
The reading this morning is from John, chapter 19, verses 1 to 22. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to him, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jews insisted, We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, Take him away, take him away. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Here ends the first reading. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Stephen is going to come and read to us from the book of Psalms.
The second Bible reading this morning is Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things from out of your word. Open our hearts to love your words. Open up our lives to live for the glory and honour of your Son. In his name, amen. Well, I wonder if you can remember what it was like being a kid thinking about royalty. In the stories that we tell kids, the king, the queen, they are noble. They're brave. The king is courageous. He is the one who goes out and fights the dragons. He's the one who cares for his people with real integrity. And then we get a bit older and we learn about Henry VIII and others like him, and we discover life is just a bit more complicated. And yet there is still part of us that longs for a leader who will be our protector, who will guide us to safety. And if you feel anything of that kind of longing this morning, Psalm 20 might just be exactly what we need to hear. It is written by, or perhaps for, the man who came closest to embodying all the ideals of the perfect king. King David of Israel, that's there in the heading to the psalm. It's a psalm of David. And as we read through it, we discover in the first verse, we are praying for someone. We're praying for God's blessing on someone. Verse 1, we're praying, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And we think, well, who are we praying for? Verse 6, we discover we're praying for the anointed one. That's the Hebrew word for Messiah, for the king. And that's spelt out again. Verse 9, O Lord, save the king. It's the verse that our national anthem comes from. God save the king, God save the queen. The setting for the psalm seems to be that the king is going out to war. He's going to fight, and the people are looking at him sitting on his horse in his armor, and they are praying for him. They are praying for God's blessing. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. And the people are saying to the king, we are completely with you. We are 100% behind you, because our destiny is so tightly bound up with yours. If you win, well, then we enjoy all the blessings of peacetime and security. And if you lose, it's too dreadful to think about. The jackboots of our enemies will be marching through our streets. Our homes will be burnt. We'll never see our children again. We are 100% behind you because our destinies are completely caught up with you. And this king in Psalm 20, he is a good man. And so the people are praying that his prayers would be answered. May he give you the desire of your heart, verse 4, and make all your plans succeed. We'll shout for joy when you're victorious, and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. See, this king is a man of such integrity that people can pray that his prayers would be answered and mean that from the bottom of their hearts. And this is a king who trusts God, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, in the cruise missiles, the aircraft carriers of their day. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The king of Israel, by law, wasn't allowed to have lots of chariots and horses, because God's people were to be people who trusted in him. And the end result of that, verse 8, is that they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. As an irony, those who are bowed down in worship before God in the end will stand victorious, the psalmist says. And those who arrogantly try to stand against him will find themselves brought down. And I take it there is one massive problem with this psalm. And the problem is we have no one to sing it to. There just is no ruler in world history who is like King David. Actually, not even King David lived up to the ideals of this psalm. We are very privileged to live in a country with one of the most widely admired and respected monarchs in the world. We are so grateful for Her Majesty the Queen, but she would be the first to say that she is far from perfect. Who can we pray this to? Just in human history, there has never been a king worthy of Psalm 20. My heart aches because I think if only there was a leader who was worthy of this. And there never has been until the first century, when in Israel there was a king who was crowned in the most unusual coronation. I wonder if you heard that as Jean read to us from John 19 earlier. Emphasized again and again, the soldiers twisted together what? A crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe, the clothing of monarchy. They went up to him again and again saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face. The charge against Jesus is that he claimed to be a king who opposed Caesar. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king. Shall I crucify your king?" His notice that he put on the cross said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the chief priests hated that. They said, "Don't write that. Write that he claimed to be the King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." See, what was the cross of the Lord Jesus? It was the coronation of the only king in all of history who has been worthy of Psalm 20. And as he died on the cross, as he took the punishment that you and I deserve, he was defeating the power of sin and death and the devil for everyone who trusts in him. He is the king that we have longed for since we were children, the kind of king that we cheered for in the storybooks. The king who is courageous, who is full of love and compassion for his people, who is the giant slayer. The punchline of this psalm is that there is one king and only one king who is worthy of the kind of praise that we find in this psalm. He is the one who, if we stand against him, makes us guilty of treason. Because as he died in shame on the cross, God there appointed him as king of the universe. If we try to stand against him, we will feel his wrath. Wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus is that our destiny, if we will trust in him, is completely wrapped up in his. A bit like the people seeing the king going out to battle. The New Testament uses language of us being in Jesus, so that as he dies, we die with him. As he rises to new life, as he's saved from death, we are saved with him. As we read verse 6, as we see Jesus in our mind's eye walk out of the tomb that first Easter Sunday, our hearts are meant to be cheering. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, and as he saves him, he has saved us. And the call of the psalm is to join in the cheering. As we cheer the King of Heaven, God save the King who has saved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Her Majesty the Queen, as we've already prayed for her service and the way that she has cared for the people of this nation. But we want to thank you all the more for the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King, the one who is full of compassion and kindness and power, who rode into battle not on a war horse but on a donkey, who went to a cross wearing a crown not of gold but of thorns, and who has promised to come back to judge this world with justice. And so we pray that you would give us hearts to trust and obey him. We pray that you would thrill us again with this glorious good news of a king who loves us and has given himself for us. In his name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn based on words of another good king of Israel. King Asa in 2 Chronicles 14 went out to battle. In the words of the King James translation, "We rest on thee," he said, "and in thy name we go." Seems a great note to me to head out into the week ahead. Let's stand and sing of our trust in the Lord, our shield and our defender.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that the Lord Jesus is the great victor. And we pray that gifts given here and in other ways would be used to make that glorious good news of victory known in Audley and far beyond. To Jesus' glory. Amen. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.